Welcome to the podcast for empathy and imagination. This is the only podcast with Drew and Aubrey that has the name The Podcast for Empathy and Imagination. This is the show in which we laugh about, discuss, preview, chuckle about, debate, and find out about the various topics of the day and how they might relate to empathy and imagination. My name is Aubrey.
And I am Drew Clark.
And I would like to thank everyone for listening, taking the time out of your day to listen.
Final Corp is
to us.
Final Corp's trying to sneak in there. Just a minute, Final Corp.
Final Corp is champing at the bit.
Well, of course they are. We'll get to you. I, Drew Clark, would very much like to acknowledge you all for taking the time out of your day to listen to a podcast about empathy and imagination.
Yes, thank you. So, how about a check-in?
Oh, let's check in. Okay, I'll go.
In with you. See how you doing.
Oh, let's see. How am I doing?
How was your week?
A lot of hot tub work this week.
Okay.
Through my quests of trying to find a job, I've figured out that the time to take off to try to find a new job is past. And I've got a couple of decisions to make.
So you took time off recently?
Well, what I did was I only was working hot tubs 3 days a week. And I was doing other jobs or searching for jobs the other days a week.
Oh, I see.
And that's over with now. So now I'm doing hot tubs 6 days a week.
Dang.
So...
that's intense, man.
It's really hard. We were building a hot tub yesterday, and, you know, it went all right.
Yeah.
But I'm in a lot of pain. I mean, physically, I've hurt my body. A few minor just aches and pains of the soreness.
Building a new wooden hot tub?
That's correct. We built a 6-foot teak hot tub yesterday.
Okay. Teak sucks because it's heavy.
It's so heavy. The boards are smaller. That doesn't help.
Yeah, the slats are narrower. And thinner,
mm-hmm.
but heavier than the Alaskan redwood or the
Alaskan
yellow cedar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Damn.
So I'm like, I need to make a decision.
I know what that feels like.
So you do know what it feels
like. The body
being
fatigued. I think I talked about this at some point, but I used to have a job doing manual labor for State Park in Massachusetts, Hall of Massachusetts, and... it was really satisfying because I'd be so exhausted by the end of the day. I'd be so ready. It felt like I had earned sleep.
Mm, that's a good feeling.
Because my body was so just fully taxed. Yeah, I was in great shape that summer.
Isn't that,
it was like one summer.
Yeah, you probably could feel your guns.
Yeah, and we basically trailblazed. We built a trail through like a bunch of forest.
Doing with a truck or what'd you?
No, just by like macheting down the things, then clearing the path, then bringing in the railroad ties for steps, putting them in.
Oh my God. I've always imagined how that happened. Yeah. I never knew
it was
that.
Fucking badass because this was a state park that had just lain fallow for a while, and we were charged with sort of getting it up and running and opening it as an actual state park.
So that is a cool fucking
job. So we had
to
clear the whole, it was this like recessed army bunker, like a gun emplacement, I think.
Shooting
and
range.
So it was all concrete and all graffitied, and we had to like manicure all the grass, get rid of the graffiti, clean all the little rooms. And at the it was on this hill, at the top of the hill is this tower. It's called Fort Revere. And it was pretty cool because we had the keys to the tower.
Ooh.
So you could go in the tower and just go to the top, and it was just this like sort of lookout room.
It's like
it was pretty
badass.
It's
a state job, right?
Yeah. It was it was like EB Parks, be the equivalent of East Bay Parks.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I know that feeling, and I also know that feeling because I do hot tub builds too.
You know?
So I'm familiar.
Man.
But, sorry, go ahead with your check-in. That was parenthetical.
It's, you know, it's part of it. It's all right. Oh, not yet. So
all kinds of sounds.
Everyone
get
quit
in on
jumping
this.
In here. We're just going to do this, okay? I'm feeling like it's time to shit or get off the pot. I've got some decisions to make. There's like a job offer that would almost be sustainable, but I'm more thinking about going into business for myself. And I've been working full-time hot tubs. And the thing is, the decision that's been on my plate is thinking about moving to Sacramento.
For the pool route?
For the cheap rent.
Oh, yeah.
And pool route combination.
And the hot, hot, still air.
It would be hotter than this by a lot.
Yeah. But you have friends up there, so you already sort of have a support system.
I have one friend.
One friend.
One friend up there. So,
huh?
We've talked about it a lot recently, me and my lady, and it's we're actually leaning against that more now because of like all of the things that I've got here, like this podcast, Bike Order Warriors, several bands I'm in,
yeah,
are all things that I produce and provide value to me and maybe eventually to other people.
It's a real, you know, that's a real concern.
It's a big, you're basically, I'd be giving up a lot for very little because the rent difference is like $700 a month, but yeah. I would make that up from the price of pools here anyway.
And you wouldn't have any band, you'd have to start over with bands.
Join all new bands, start all new bands from zero.
I mean, the podcast could still work, some kind of Skype.
We could do a remote thing, it wouldn't be as cool.
It wouldn't be as fun.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right, I gotta do what I gotta do. So my check-in involves me gotten to do what I gotta do, and I'm really happy to have the work hot tubbing. I just got off work. I was working today.
Yeah.
I got to two hot tubs today. And I'm just great. I'm grateful for it, and I'm ready for something that pays.
So even with 6 days on the hot tubbing, it's not enough.
We'll see. I don't think so.
Yeah, because it's not like full days. It's just
they're not full days. They get canceled regularly.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't get a receipt with how I'm paid. So it's sort of like he pays me a number, and I just shrug. And there's no proof any direction of anything.
Mm.
So it's like, am I getting all my hours? Am I getting overpaid? Probably not. It's possible, but no one knows. And we have the same boss. He's been generous at times. That is a capacity of his to be generous.
I mean, I would say my feeling is that he's probably not shorting you at all.
Yeah, he probably isn't shorting me, but the work gets canceled a lot.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Like, we had a build planned, and it was like, nope. Okay, yeah. Go home. But then I worked 11 hours yesterday.
Okay.
Straight. So yeah. It's like, That's my check-in. How the fuck are you doing?
Doing good. I just want to say we're enjoying, I'm enjoying a Racer 5 IPA from Bear Republic.
And I'm doing the Sierra Nevada Tropical Torpedo Delicious Beers. Thank you, Bear Republic and Sierra Nevada.
Very refreshing on this sweltering,
very
hot Northern California day here at Crockett Saunas. Gradient Saunas. I'm doing pretty good. What did I have for my check-in? Oh. I just looked at an apartment in Crockett.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, we'd be neighbors.
Yeah, it's like one block from Toots.
Are you fucking serious?
Right there.
Toots is
right
fun,
at that light, take a right and it's just right there.
You looked at an apartment in Crockett.
And it's one bedroom.
Oh, I'm so
and
excited.
It's fucking, I mean, you know, what can you do? But I really hope I get it because it's sweet.
What's it like?
It's like high ceilings, one bedroom, lots of light. There's like transom windows. There's like a huge bay window in a breakfast nook off of the
you
kitchen.
You got water view?
No. But it's second floor, which is cool. So no upstairs neighbors stomping around. And it's got like a warped kitchen floor, you know, because it's like an old building. So... yeah, they're just, you know, I filled out an application, gave her a check for $20 to run my credit. We'll see what happens. She also said there's another apartment opening up in the same triplex or whatever, which is another one bedroom. So, I was kind of like, I'm ready to move in now.
Yeah, can we tell the listeners what some of the details are? Like, is it a...
well, it's, yeah, hardwood floors, high ceilings, which is cool, one bedroom. Basically like a kitchen and living room. It's basically two rooms. So one is the bedroom and one is sort of the big kitchen living room.
Where does your poop go?
And in the sink. No, there's a bathroom off of the bedroom.
Oh, so it's like a master bedroom in the
kitchen.
Yeah,
it's a true one bedroom.
Okay.
Well, there's a separate room that is the bedroom, but the bathroom is off of the bedroom, which is a little weird, but I mean, so it's just me. So.
Guests, well, if I was, when I would be hanging out with you over there, I'd go through your bedroom to use the bathroom.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Dude, that's, I'm excited. I imagine it's a price you can afford.
Yeah, it's super, I mean, compared to Berkeley prices, it's fucking super cheap.
Well, then fucking
And, you know, I just hope I make the cut, right? It sucks to be at the mercy of someone else.
Yeah.
Part of my definition of success is, one, don't have any jerks in your life. Two, minimize the number of people that you're beholden to, that have power over you in one way or another.
Mm.
So, yeah, you know, it'd be awesome to get that. It'd be pretty cool. We'd be neighbors. It'd be cheaper. It'd be bigger. It'd be better. Be a little bit of a commute.
You'd be commuting for both jobs now.
Be commuting for both jobs.
Yeah.
But
well, that's what I do.
I'm okay with that. You know?
You've got a car.
Fine with that. Got a car.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I'm just excited about your check-in.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Because I didn't want to go, like, there's Benicia and Vallejo. Things are cheap up there.
Then
you're over the bridge. And you're paying, like, $120 a month in tolls.
Yep.
More, actually, because that was a five-day calculation. But
you do 6 days often, huh?
Right. So then you just, that's where that difference in rent goes.
To the bridge people.
And plus another like 20 minutes on your commute, you know? So
yeah.
So I was trying to stay south of the bridges.
So basically Crockett, Port Costa would be as far as you'd want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I...
So, I'm hoping that works out.
Man, that would be something if we were neighbors.
I just checked it out today, this morning.
Oh, that's what you were doing?
Yeah.
Fucking A.
Oh, totally weird person. Like,
oh, yeah.
Sort of artist emotionless person.
Huh, not an artist.
Yeah, it was funny. But there were two... I asked her if there was a lot of interest. She said yes.
Oh, of course.
Two other people came in while I was there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't mobbed like you see in Berkeley.
Where it's a line out the fucking door.
Yeah, where it's just like suddenly there's a whole murder of people there, like 30 people all showing up right on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've 1 minute after lines. The thing starts.
I've been in those lines.
Yeah.
And you just kind of look at each other like, good luck.
So it's like, you know, I guess it all comes down to the credit score.
Credit score, job.
Yeah.
Sometimes personality. Good thing you're so smooth.
Yeah, I hope so. That's my check-in, playing a lot of music as well. You know, that's always happening.
How's the music feeling?
Music's feeling good. Tuesday and Friday, I play 90s rock. Wednesday, we were supposed to do covers, but I had to look at apartments.
You got to
look
somewhere.
Thursday, we do black metal.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm so affected by how shitty that studio is.
You feel affected by
it? My mood.
I thought you seemed a little distracted Thursday night. Were you?
I was just. It felt like. Well, all right. To be honest, the guitar. It was so. It just sounded like shit. Everything sounded like shit. That was part of it.
This is tell the truth, man. What's going on?
Everything sounded like shit. Things are muddy. It was like hot and just uncomfortable. It's like harsh lighting, just
barely standing
negative
room.
Feng shui.
It's like hold your bass a certain angle because you'll hit it on shit that's
and
everywhere.
And like so much talking about parts.
The talking,
which to me is like, I'm it's so almost a red flag.
To have so much talking?
Yeah, like way more talking than actual playing music. I don't know how that bodes for the future of the band, but some things, you know, sometimes you got to talk about stuff, but if you're not like incrementally improving on parts and adding parts, you know, sometimes I just want to do that and not talk about everything so much.
You know, I think it's fine to talk about it. I was like thinking at that last practice about requesting to not talk as much.
Yeah.
I was like, we have very little time here in the studio. We spend it all doing this.
Right.
We can do this outside.
Yeah.
We can't do this.
Right.
While we're talking. Right,
right. Yeah. In that context, you have an opportunity to play music. You can't play, you can't do that on the sidewalk.
No, it's not. The cops will come. So you found the sounds were muddy too? I could speak on that, but I want to hear you what you
sounds
say.
Sounds were
first.
Muddy. Like the guitar was super muddy and super loud. It seemed too loud.
We had him turned down twice and still was like
still seemed too loud. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm not a prima donna, but maybe it's just playing music for so long. I don't put up with certain things as well as I should.
I think
turn down if you're tuning. You don't need to be at maximum volume when you're tuning your guitar.
And we've requested that.
And like if there's a squeal coming out of your guitar, just try to end it as fast as possible. Don't let it keep going on and on. And if your part, everyone is responsible for figuring out what the duration of their part is. So when we say let's play two of those, it may mean something different to each of us, but each of us is tasked with figuring out what that means. So that's another thing. That was another thing. I was like, ugh.
I want to add to that. And then you had a challenge of like, there's the guitar player has never, we have these like 2.5 songs or 1.8.4 songs. And it's like the guitarist has never done the time changes with you and me as the rhythm section.
Yeah.
He's never started or ended the riffs where they start or end. It's always been a bleed over and then try to catch back up, usually incorrectly, until about the end.
Yeah.
And then we switch to the next thing that they're doing. It's like
there's a delay.
It's a delay. There's a delay there. Yeah.
And starting songs not starting correctly.
Like how many times did I do the stick count? And you and me and Evan started, and then the guitarist was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Like, how many times did that happen just Thursday?
Happened a bunch of times.
It was like more than 5 times. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know.
I feel good. I feel better talking about it.
You know,
though.
I try to hit the empathy button. It's like just, boo, boo. I'm just keep hitting it. It's not lighting up.
It's not.
But I'm just like, yeah, I got to hit that empathy button.
Yeah. It's good for
try
us to
understand.
Hit it. Yeah.
Try to understand what's going on over there.
Because there is some coolness that comes from there, from the guitar player.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I like some of those riffs.
Yeah.
Arpeggios especially are cool. There's an added challenge where this guitar player also plays the drums. And
not at the same time, though.
No, I'd like to, but I can't. He would give me drum advice. He gives me drum advice that is usually what I'm already doing or isn't the rhythm of what he's playing. Like, is a different time signature.
Yeah.
Like, that happened Thursday, too. Is it, can you just go this, do it like this? And it's like, yeah, that's a different time signature than you're playing with your guitar.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We can do that. It just takes, we got to line up at a couple of key points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do ultra polyrhythmic stuff, but that's not what he was going for. He didn't know what he was in.
Yeah. It can be a challenge.
So,
sure.
So audience, you can hear in my voice, I feel pleased to be talking about this on the air. Feels like honest, feels like genuine. Good. And it's like, yeah, I guess there is some like, I want to have more empathy there, too. I push the empathy button, and I'm waiting for it to light up also.
Yeah.
I'm feeling judgmental.
Well, I feel judgmental. I feel like I hold my tongue, so that's probably what you're sensing.
Yeah.
Because I want things I want to say. If you hit the empathy button, it sort of mutes the... You hold your tongue if you hit it.
It's pausing your story, yeah.
But, yeah. Sometimes I'm like... the mass hole comes out of me. I want to say some stuff.
Boston, you know, it'd almost be better if you at least said some of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then it's more talking.
Right.
Then we're back to, we can't stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, okay. Yeah, that's the check-in.
Wow,
that's
I my checked check-in. In again, too. All right, thank you. Can we checked have a round of applause there? Because that was a pretty good check-in.
Thank you for your check-in. Thank you. Good check-in.
Yeah.
You got a topic?
Well, no.
Okay, fine. Well, I'll take a topic for both of us.
Please.
I was thinking about, let's see.
Ooh,
heroes of the imagination.
Ooh.
I was wondering if you have any heroes of the imagination. Oh, I have a couple. God. I'm not super prepared, but I can talk extemporaneously on a few individuals that I really like.
Okay,
admire.
Heroes of the imagination to me are people like that they are being internally trustful, I guess. Like they're figuring out new things that is a compilation of the things around them. And they're putting them into action, and that makes them the heroes, that they change the world from that.
Mm-hmm.
I could just spattle off a few names, but it'd probably be more fun to say one, talk about it, say another one, talk about it.
Yeah,
bit.
That sounds good.
Okay, Elon Musk, for me, is a hero of the imagination. If I think about wanting to work for somebody else, he's one of the few people I'd want to actually work for and not have my own company.
Because he has a vision?
Because every company he starts is alignment with what I think would be good for the future.
Yeah.
And he has so many companies on so many angles. And every time you hear him speak, it's like when you compare that to what the politicians are saying, it's like, oh, wow, there's something really wrong with them. At least this guy is like...
He's getting stuff
thinking
done.
Of getting stuff done with money.
He's executing.
He took money and made a bunch of shit.
Yeah. He took a bunch of money from the government.
Oh, I'm sure.
They subsidized the fuck out of them.
For Tesla?
I think it was Tesla.
Yeah. Car companies all get... I think they all get that. Yeah.
It might have been something else. But might have been SpaceX. But yeah, he seems to be doing cool stuff. He's... You know, he... A few episodes ago, I talked about... One of the problems with our culture, in my view, is that we don't have a definitive future vision... You know, whereas in like the 60s, it was like the year 2000, flying cars, moon colonies, blah, 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 blah.
And fucking got missed
us, that
boat.
That got us to the moon and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then we got disillusioned. The year 2000 rolled around and everyone was like, well, now it's just about new apps. That's what I'm psyched about. That's what the future is. Just going to be new apps.
Yeah. Where's
more
the,
apps.
Where's the seasteading companies that are starting that should have. Wouldn't it be cool if they started?
Yeah. So I think. Elon Musk is appealing because he seems to be executing some of those ideas that are like almost 60s era.
Oh, like
colonizing
picturesque.
The moon. You know, he just unveiled some plan for his million population city on Mars.
Oh, I'm not. Please fill me in.
I just saw the headline today. I don't
okay,
know, I'm
tell
not sure.
tell the audience.
That's all I know.
He wants to put a million people on Mars?
He wants to make a colony on Mars, and he has a plan to have like a colony that's a million people.
Wow. Last I heard...
And all I saw, and it was that headline and like sort of a picture of like a Bucky dome,
of course,
geodesic dome.
Of course, Bucky there. Last I heard, he was hoping for like 200,000 people, and that he could, by 2040, probably be happening.
Yeah, see, that's pretty cool.
Like, wouldn't you want to
know? So he has the imagination... Mm-hmm. But he's also executing the ideas. That's like the important part. Easy to come up with it. Easy to imagine stuff, but to execute it way harder. So yeah, I think he's a good candidate for a hero of the imagination.
Hero, okay. Do you want another one, or you want to say one?
Yeah, why don't you hit me with another one?
okay, so this...
Oh, well, we talked... Bucky came up in that.
So,
Buckminster Fuller.
Definitely.
Known as Bucky... informally, he was a hero in the imagination.
Absolutely, and he is the predecessor to who I was going to say next.
Oh, Jacques Fresco.
Yeah, he recently died.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jacques finally passed.
He was
96.
Yeah, he was up there.
Yeah, he had done a lot of good in the world. I mean, he had gone as far as to going into the early, I think, 60s. He would go into like white supremacy groups and convince them to disband, and they would. That like happened a few times.
Huh.
Like he just rocking it for the human race, man.
What was his deal, Jacques Fresco? He's
an inventor, industrial designer, and artist.
Industrial designer by trade.
Right.
That was his background.
Mm-hmm. He also invented a car with 40 parts. Huh. Or no, was that Bucky or Jacques? You know, we might have to check that. It goes Buckminster Fuller, Jacques Fresco.
Right.
I guess Elon Musk.
Mm. Jacques Fresco had, what is it, Project Jupiter? The Jupiter
Project? Venus Project.
Venus Project.
Right, which I was affiliated with for some time.
And they were, for a while, they were making noise about teaming up with the Zeitgeist movement.
Well, we did. We had a full alliance with the Venus Project, as the Zeitgeist movement goes.
So what
we
was
were
the
promoting their films.
So what was the Venus Project? That was
the Venus Project was a future city by design.
Started
by
Jacques Fresco.
In Roxanne Meadows.
In Roxanne Meadows in Florida.
Yeah, in Venus, Florida.
Venus, Florida.
They have the comp. Well, she
That's
has the
That's why I was confused, because there's a Jupiter, Florida, too.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And it was like a future city, right? A plan for a future city.
He wanted to first have an amusement park that had all this stuff in it that people could come and check out.
Right.
And then eventually build a bunch of cities at once. I think we would need to build one city that was operating.
Yeah.
And then double it if it worked, you know, if so thusly possible. The resources exist, you know, like us.
What was like the paradigm of the city?
Well, it was
centralized.
The centralized
distribution.
No, it was decentralized technological abundance. So, basically, the systems were independent, and there were multiple overlaps. Basically, using systems theory, for a scientific method for social concern. So, all the isms could be. You could pause any ism, maybe leave and go back to it if you wanted to, but in the Venus Project, the circular cities, there's no need for a state, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. He had
circular cities.
I mean, it's kind of weird because it's almost like you're imposing this strict structure onto something that really is being promoted as not structurally
that a lot of people had that problem with it.
Yeah.
A lot of Zeitgeisters was like, you're too specific. Right. Like, we want what you're thinking about. The ideas you have are good.
But it doesn't have to be.
But your drawings might be
implemented in that particular way.
Yeah, they might be wrong. And he was like, what I design today will be prisons to people of the future.
Right.
He knew that into it. But he's like, do better than this now. He's like, yeah, do better than this. Beat this.
And so the Zeitgeist movement, which is about emergent synergistic resource-based economy.
Correct.
So they were in bed with each other for a while.
Few years. There was a full-on partnership, and films were co-films were created and cross-distributed, and we had multiple crossover events.
Was there any concrete plans for cities or designs, or was it just more
everyone?
Marketing?
Everyone always asks, "How do we get there?" You even get the banker who watches the movie, and he's like, "I love it. We'll just never get there. I can never see how we get there." That's what everyone asks. And so concrete plans about what to do were impossible in that environment. Now, there are some. Even Peter Joseph was just on the news the other day talking about specific things. Coincidentally, things I was saying 10 years ago. Just saying.
Coincidentally. Great minds, I think I like.
So they're great ideas, and it's what I've been saying for years.
Yeah.
And it is to...
He just came out with a new book, right, Peter Joseph?
He did. It's... Well, he has the show he finished, Culture and Decline, and then this is the new human rights movement, is the new book.
Right.
I actually haven't read it yet.
We should try to get him on.
That sounds great.
So Jacques Fresco is the hero of the imagination.
Yes.
He just died. Do we know what the fate of the Venus Project is?
You know,
Roxanne Meadows.
Roxanne Meadows seems to be of the mind of wanting to hold on to her role in that.
Yeah.
So if she does that forever, it will die with her.
Yeah.
So she needs to include other people, and then it can grow. But until then, she's the only boss now. I think she wanted that. Not that she wanted Jacques dead. I don't, for a moment, play with that notion. I think she loved him dearly in many ways.
Yeah.
I worry for the Venus Project's actual fate. I think it may end up being just something we referred to in the past. It was a cool idea.
As a footnote to...
As starter, as a seed planter, as a advocation of information. Hmm. I don't think they're going to make an amusement park. I think the Zeitgeist movement just made a 501(c) part of itself, so it can now accept donations and is a non-profit.
What do you think the Venus Project is going to do with Roxanne Meadows at the helm?
Very little.
Yeah.
I think that with Roxanne Meadows at the helm instead of the hero Jacques Fresco, I'm afraid that she will continue to want to hold on to her prideful ownership of the project. That's really what the separation came from, too. There was a miscommunication about credit in some film that was happening. Somebody felt that they weren't given enough credit for certain things and that someone was trying to take advantage of somebody else.
Yeah, you can design the best society on paper, but humans will be humans.
Right, and so PJ is like, hey, let's talk about it. I'm not sure I understand. You know, he went through what I would call, what I would do.
Yeah.
In that instance to make peace, and they were like, no. No, it's over. Like, okay.
Huh.
So they chose division.
Wow.
And I'm afraid they're going to keep choosing division, which eventually is zero. You eventually get to zero. You need to do inclusion, I think.
Yeah. Can't divide by zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So are there heroes of the imagination?
Yeah. There's a lot. This is probably an ongoing topic.
I think of a few more,
heroes
I think.
Heroes of the imagination. You know, a lot of them are dead. A lot of them lived in antiquity. A lot of are still alive. Elon Musk, for example. Or William T. Vollman is another hero of the imagination. He's a writer. He's a contemporary writer. He lives in Sacramento.
Huh.
And a total outsider... kind of a weirdo.
I like him already.
Yeah, he's great. And he's like the butterfly. He's like a moth to the flame of sadness. He writes about interesting things, and he's done a lot of writing about prostitutes. He got to know prostitutes, and he sort of writes about their lives. And uses that research to write huge fiction. But all of his books are like, they just get bigger each year. They get thicker, more pages.
Wow.
And yeah, it's funny. He talked about how at first the prostitutes didn't really want to open up to him emotionally. And because they just thought he looks like a serial killer.
He's scary looking.
He's like a tall, acne-faced, huge glasses, like weird mop top haircut. But yeah, at first the prostitutes didn't want to open up to him. And so he has a story where he said he had to pretend to masturbate. Like he'd be asking them questions, but he'd be like in the corner, like pretending to masturbate, just asking them questions about their life. And that's one of the only reasons that they, it's one of the only ways that they would actually respond to him and like open up to him. But eventually he became friends with them and a lot of them and wrote about their stuff. And that's just one of many, you know, things that he writes about. But
so he takes the lives of prostitutes and takes
photos of them too.
Does he have sex with them?
I think in the beginning he did.
And then just kept paying for sex, but stopped having sex. That's an interesting choice.
Right.
That's not usual.
No. And so he would take, you know, his money that he would get for writing some Esquire article and use that to pay prostitutes for research for his stuff.
Wow.
So he also did a study on, on violence. When is violence justified? And it's, you know, it's like 10 volumes. It's like 4,000 pages. Called Rising Up, Rising Down. So to me, he is a hero of the imagination. Because he's very fearless, and he's just like, he sort of just does what he does without really worrying about what other people think of what he does.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't waste too much energy. It's in fear mode about how it's going to land.
No. And he's motivated. He said many times, he's just like, I want to, he's like, I know I'm talented with writing.
Yeah.
I just want to somehow help others through my gifts. And he's just like, yeah, I don't know if that even works, but I'm just going to keep doing that.
Well, sounds like
he's like, I don't know how to do anything else.
Sounds like he's doing what he's supposed to do. Yeah. He made our list of a hero of imagination.
Yeah, and he sort
of... Can you give me a tidbit of one story or something? Is there anything we can taste about...
You mean like excerpts?
Yeah, do you have anything you can remember?
I don't have anything particularly. He did write this... One of my favorite books is of his is The Rainbow Stories. Which, in his characteristic way, he says, Rainbow Stories, a novel, right? So how could it be stories and a novel at the same time? But you can tell that a lot of it's based in real life, like stories about San Francisco in the 80s, because that's where he used to live, in the Tenderloin.
Okay.
San Francisco in the 80s. And he hung out with a lot of, like, prostitutes, the skinhead scene, just to, like, see what that was all about. So he's very much a true journalist, in that he puts himself in situations and sort of tries to figure out what it's all about without judging. But that book, Rainbow Stories, is pretty cool.
It's a collection of different stories, but it all adds up to some larger novel?
Yeah. He calls it a novel because I think he's being funny. His sense of humor is very dry. There's a story in that. Do you remember research laboratories where they have those giant mechanical dinosaurs fighting each other, breathing fire?
It's a
San Francisco thing.
I've seen dragons shooting. I mean, metal dinosaurs fighting, but I don't know where it was from.
San Francisco.
Okay.
Anyway, he has a piece in there. So each story has like a color associated with it. And the one that I liked was called The Indigo Engineers, and it was all about the guys from Survival Research Laboratories. That's what it is.
Sounds like a Burning Man group.
Yeah, and just like him being inept, trying to help out, and you know, just like in the world of these people that are building these giant machines with blow torches in their mouth and saws and stuff. No, he's a clumsy. Because his vision is terrible. His vision is terrible, so he's a kind of a all thumbs guy. Anyway, to me, he's a hero of the imagination.
Okay, right on.
And he's still alive.
What's his name again, one more time?
William T. Volman.
Okay.
Check him out. He doesn't drive because his eyesight's so bad. He doesn't have his license. Doesn't have a cell phone. Doesn't use the internet.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, cars, he's like, I'm against cars because they annihilate space. He's like, I'm against TV because it annihilates time. It's like, huh. Interesting.
Huh.
For someone just wading into his vast corpus of material, I would recommend a book, which is kind of a reader. It's called Expelled from Eden, a William T. Volman reader. And it has like excerpts of stories, has like unpublished stuff, excerpts from a screenplay that he wrote based on one of his books.
Oh, cool.
So it's just like a
sampler.
Sampler. And that gives you a good idea of what he's all about.
Okay.
He actually wrote, like in the 80s, he wrote to the president of Saudi Arabia saying that he would volunteer to be shot in like put on a satellite and go on a mission to a meteor,
Like, you just volunteered.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is totally something that I talked about in my younger days. I was like, yeah, I'd do that. I'd take a one-way trip. And then years later, I read William T. Vollman had the same sort of feeling. Huh. It's like, huh, that's a true kindred spirit.
That reminds me of the Peter Joseph idea that I had years ago. Okay. Interesting.
What was his?
Well, my idea and his idea would be to funnel money into developing multiple-story vertical farming in poorer places to immediately meet the need of nutrition for people. And then you just go, you go in that door. You meet the need of nutrition. And
like a skyscraper of vertical farming?
Yeah. And you, it would have to be, have to be a little subsidied at first. It would. Which would either involve public or private donors. And basically have that set up and start that cycle. And so the community begins to trust it. You build trust and then you make it as free as possible until it could be fully free. And just a service like PG&E is a service, but you pay for it, I guess. Maybe a better example is like you just add it to the list of air, water, food. Hello? We got it.
What is that?
I don't know what's going on there. Is it me? Is it this one?
Check I think we determined it was this one last time, didn't we? Oh, there we go.
Okay. We got to be careful with that one.
Some wire. We got some wire problems.
How are you surprised?
We don't have enough cables.
Are you surprised that we have some technical difficulties here?
Surprised that it didn't show up earlier.
Yeah. It's got a little wobbly, crackly wobble crack to it. That's so crazy. You know, it's okay. We're...
Yeah, I just wish I knew exactly where the problem was.
Yeah. So wait, where were we?
Talking about Peter Joseph's idea of vertical farming.
So yeah, get that going. And begin the process of making it like air, water, food, and then continue adding things to it based on technological advancements and... the increasing Gesundheit, the increasing cheapification of technology too.
Oh, okay.
So basically, ride how technology gets cheaper all the time, and then maximize that with because you if you put it right in the where the people are, you remove so much waste of distribution. I mean, food in California like has an average of like 20,000 miles, and it's like 10 hydrocarbon calories. Ooh.
Whoa.
Whoa. You know what? We're having a breakdown here. Okay. All righty. We are back to our live stream now. We had a little technical blapoo there. Thanks for your patience. And welcome back to the podcast for Empathy and Imagination. I am Drew Clark.
I am Aubrey Cloutier. Welcome. I think the volume got quieter. Oh, actually, hold on.
Yeah, a little more. That's better. Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
So all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, William T. Vollman, he's I guess he sort of has like a cult, almost a cult-like following. Not a lot of people know him, but the people that do know him, you know, really love what he does. So he, to me, he's a hero of the imagination. Faux show.
Hell yeah. All right.
You got another one?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. It might be expected or not, but I'm going to say my dad.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. He did a lot of things that were pretty cool, and he thought of them, and he turned them into action.
That qualifies. As
yeah, I mean that's you know. he did do that stuff. He invented the very first computer anti-theft device to be mass produced, to some degree.
Is that like a bear trap on the keyboard?
Similar. It's a thing.
You try to type and it's like cuts your hands off.
This is less technical than that. This is called Retain-It. And Retain-It had this crazy super double glue tape, like space tape, and you attach it to your computer, You can't detach with screws. And when you unplug it, it arms. And if you move it, it puts out like 120 decibels of this like shrieking horror sound. And the battery, you can't break it. It's like built so you can hammer it and it'll last.
Did he patent it?
He
just prototyped it?
He made it. He had a factory of people, actually mentally handicapped people he hired to have a job and work, do something, and they assembled these products, and it sold it to NASA and Stanford and other things.
That's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, so that's one thing that would qualify him. He also lived on boats several different times, which I, of course, think is cool and have done. It's not exactly...
Is that where you got your inspiration for doing it?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was raised on boats, but that's not so much an example of being a hero of imagination, but he did things like that. He worked for NASA later. He also worked for Stanford before. And he was an electrical engineer working in cryogenics, like freezing mirrors for satellites and stuff. I got to play with liquid nitrogen at NASA. So that was cool.
Kick ass.
Yeah. So he was a cool dude, and he was a hopeless romantic, and he liked the booze
lot. I'm more of a hopeful romantic. Trying to break some new ground there.
Right. Ooh, broadcasting error. Transmission failed. 0 out of 32, frown face. Continue recording. Okay.
Just failed to upload or something?
No, it was this feed has failed. So we're going to have to post this post.
Okay. Well, is it still getting a signal from the other cams?
Yeah, we're camming it up. We're camtastic. One of the cams is not responding.
For all the
two of the cams are not responding. Okay, no. Fuck.
It's frozen again?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it writes itself.
Okay.
But here, okay. Just finish our dang thought.
Yeah.
Here.
Let me know if it doesn't write itself.
Here we go. Let's do this. Yeah. There we go.
Finally have a trash here in
Gradient Studios. Oh, you almost made that.
Almost.
Not quite, though. All right.
Shouldn't quit my day job as an NBA basketball player. Finish our dang thought. So your dad
did
all kinds of cool stuff, sold stuff to Stanford and NASA. And
he worked for them. He worked in cryogenics and electrical engineering. And yeah, he helped space things happen. He knew astronauts. I have a signature.
Hopeless romantic.
Hopeless romantic. Liked the booze a lot.
Liked the booze.
Passed away pretty tragically. In 2005.
Yeah.
It's like a diabetes hospital sort of mistake.
Was it because of the boozing? Or was he overweight? Too much sugar?
You know, he didn't eat what I would say we would call healthy.
Okay.
Today.
Yeah.
He wasn't overweight because he had the type of diabetes that he would lose weight when he ate cake. He would used to joke. He'd like, "Yeah, if I ever want to lose some weight, I just eat some cake."
Eat some cake.
And I was like,
"Dang."
So, yeah, he still had fun. He didn't let it rule him.
Right.
And he went around doing cool shit, but then he got in over his head, and he got a couple of DUIs in a row. I heard the tickle of sound there. You know, there's a tragic end, but. He taught me a lot, even post-mortem.
Mm.
So it wasn't in vain.
Yeah. Well, he made you, too, which is kind of good.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
For the rest of us. Yeah, I'll hear take that it. Clicking,
yeah.
Encroaching.
It feels like it's trying to get us again.
It feels like it's going to...
They're trying to stop us, Aubrey.
It's going to, like, keep going up and up, and then going to start feeding back again.
All right. The podcast for Empathy and Imagination is trying to be stopped.
How are our cameras looking?
Completely frozen. You just tag through them. You know what it's time for? Let's finish up this topic, and then I got something else.
Okay. Well, there's more to be said. I guess I could. This is bothering me.
Yeah.
Should we restart the audio track?
You think that'll help?
I don't know. What do you think we should do? Restart the internet?
No.
We just did that.
Shit.
The cameras are frozen. And we're getting clicks.
Yeah. We got heavy clickage. And the cameras are this one's not frozen. So you can see. This is just... Alrighty. Oh, okay. I think we are live again. I think we solved those problemos.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Thanks to Aubrey for his technical solution skills in the AV world. Maybe like an award or something.
There are no problems, only solutions.
Mm-hmm. Good job solutionizing.
Thank you, Tron. From 1980.
Right. We got a few more heroes of the imagination, don't we?
We do. And we want to do like a sounds good, sings good in between.
Come
Let's
back do it.
To the heroes.
Let's do it. Let's do a, you got a sounds good. I've got a sounds good. Who wants to go first?
How about a word from our sponsor?
Final Corp is okay. A super, mega, ultra, pan-galactic corporation with offices in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, London, Tokyo, Shanghai, Oslo, Zurich, Prague, Sydney, St. Petersburg, the Moon, Mars, Jupiter, the Oort Cloud, the Andromeda Galaxy, Tuppy's Razors, Shredded Pants, Sausage Babies, Tinted Reflex Antlers, the Behex Dizdfix Pants.
Thank you, Final Corp, for supporting the episode.
A lot of offices.
A lot of offices.
That's a lot of overhead.
In here and other galaxies. Final Corp is an intergalactic corporation. Sponsoring one of the few podcasts in the Soul Galaxy, the podcast for empathy and imagination.
Where we broadcast, of course, in Crockett, California.
Yes, 50 years of experience.
75 flavors of mayonnaise.
75 flavors of mayonnaise, last count. So thank you, Final Corp. Thanks to our listeners for checking us out on YouTube, Empathy and Imagination on YouTube, Patreon.com, Empathy and Imagination. It really helps us out, guys. Helps us avoid... helps us cut down on the number of cables. And
right. The technical problems. Patreon.com. You can affect that.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, you want to do your
yeah, let's do it.
Sings good, or I got two sounds goods?
Well.
So.
Why don't, you've got two? You go.
I got two.
You go. Let's give it. Let's
this
do
is
it.
A short one. This is a short one.
Yeah.
A lot of the, I've gone through some old tracks, and a lot of the drums were removed. Anyway, so this here it is, just without further comment. Abrupt ending there.
Abrupt ending, yeah. What would what was that?
That one was called If You Know What I Mean.
Hmm.
It's an oldie. Still needs some vocals, but it's like a short, just a short little tune. Short little
you
ditty.
Made that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, man. That sounded cool. I liked,
actually, I have a couple, I have two more sounds goods, but
oh, fuck.
We can move on. Well, it sounded like what? What were you going to say? Sorry.
Well, I really liked that tune. It was like it was a good, clear feeling message. Like
what
the vibe.
What was the feeling message?
I think
that you
the
got?
Vibe was kind of like
hopeful.
I'm
romantic.
On my bike and it's sunny. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I pictured. Probably my friends there on his bike too. You know. And,
hopeful, romantic.
Romantic definitely fits. I could say friendship or romance. Either way would be fine.
Two sides of the same coin, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Yeah, I guess that is two sides of the same coin. Like friendship romance, I see sunshine, like something like you're sort of active. Cool. I see a little action.
Okay, nice.
And I love action. So
sweet.
Yeah.
You want to do a sings good? What do you what do you have for?
That's I think it's, we've been baiting them long enough. Yeah. It's time.
All right. This is a sings good. It's our first
Sings good.
Sings good segment.
Give us a break here.
See what you got. Started sort of midway through. All right. That's fine. I guess we'll figure out who's doing what harmonies.
I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams flash before my eyes, a curiosity dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do comes to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Our sings good. We've got more technical problems here. He thinks he's got a solution. This is like, I think we're clicking right. Oh, that's clicking. It just clicked. Nope. Hello, this is Drew. Is there clicking? Yeah, there's some clicking. Dang it, it's clicking. I'm not hearing a click. I don't hear a click. It's not clicking. Are the cameras? Yeah, okay. Well, I think, okay, fuck it. Let's punch it.
Punch it. So, punch it. Yeah, that was a sings good. We did Kansas's Dust in the Wind.
Yeah. I mean, we found our harmony later in the song, I think. Yeah. I think if we do that again, we'll be a little bit tighter.
And I think I haven't heard that song in a long time either.
So actually, yeah, it's probably been a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got? I got a couple more things. I got a couple more sounds that good. Some more heroes.
I think it's time for some heroes and then it sounds good.
Okay. Well, for everyone out there who is a fan of... Oh, I'm hearing that click again.
Fucking A, man. Go. Just go.
For all those fans of poetry, God damn it. All you poetry fans out there, one of my favorite poets of all time is Hart Crane. Not very well known, but pretty badass. Lived and died in obscurity, but is now regarded by such critics as Harold Bloom as being pretty mega. And pretty mega because of his innovative use of words. I mean, why else is any poet really renowned? But he was pretty cool. And he had odd subjects. He has this poem about Brooklyn Bridge. So he lived, I think, 1920 to...
July 21st, 1899 to okay. April
27th, 1932. Yeah. So he was fond of the sauce.
Handsome guy.
Fond of the sauce. And homosexual.
Oh.
And he died in a weird way. He was on a cruise boat, and he jumped off. And they couldn't find him, so that's how he died. Anyway, he he wrote a poem called Brooklyn Bridge, which I would like to read a little bit of now.
Thank you. I was hoping that would happen.
So here goes, Hart Crane, to Brooklyn Bridge. And this is from his book. It's a series of poems that revolve around the Brooklyn Bridge. This one is called To Brooklyn Bridge. How many dawns chill from his rippling rest? The seagull's wings shall dip and pivot him, shedding white rings of tumult, building high over the chained bay waters, liberty. Then, with inviolate curve, forsake our eyes, as apparitional as sails that cross some page of figures to be filed away, till elevators drop us from our day. I think of cinemas, panoramic slights, with multitudes bent toward some flashing scene, never disclosed, but hastened to again, foretold to other eyes on the same screen. And thee, across the harbor, silver-paced, as though the sun took step of thee, yet left some motion ever unspent in thy stride, implicitly thy freedom stained thee. Out of some subway scuttle, cell, or loft, a bedlamite speeds to thy parapets, tilting there momentarily, shrill shirt ballooning, a jest falls from the speechless caravan. Down wall, from girder into street, noon leaks, a rip tooth of the sky's acetylene. All afternoon the cloud-flown derricks turn, thy cables breathe the North Atlantic still. And obscure as that heaven of the Jews, thy guerdon, accolade thou dost bestow of anonymity time cannot raise, vibrant reprieve and pardon thou dost show. O harp and altar of the fury fused, how could mere toil align thy quiring strings? Terrific threshold of the prophet's pledge, prayer of pariah and the lover's cry. Again the traffic lights that skim thy swift, unfractioned idiom, immaculate sigh of stars, beating thy path, condense eternity, and we have seen night lifted in thine arms. Under thy shadow, by the piers I waited, only in darkness is thy shadow clear. The city's fiery parcels all undone, already snow submerges an iron year. O sleepless as the river under thee, vaulting the sea, the prairie's dreaming sod, unto us lowliest sometimes sweep, descend, and of the curve ship lend a myth to God.
Huh. What's funny is it was... Yeah.
Thanks, Hart.
What's funny is it reminds me of your poetry.
Huh. Yeah, well... I'll take that as a compliment.
Okay.
With no further comment. Mm. He, what an interesting thing to be praising a man-made structure in such a way.
I mean, it was so dense, it was a little hard for me to fully follow.
Yes.
I would need to hear it again. And
he's a dense...
By the way, you said it very well. Like, you had a good candor and tempo to it. It was... You made it easier to understand because of the way you said it.
Well, thanks. I've read it many times.
It seems like you practiced that. Is that the case?
the practice of life. I didn't rehearse it before I got
But just you read it a bunch.
Yeah.
Huh. You can only get that here, folks.
But yeah, it's like packed with sort of weird words and phrasings. When he's talking to the bridge, it's all formal, right? Thine. I love the under thy shadow by the piers I waited. Only in darkness is thy shadow clear. The city's fiery parcels all undone. Already snow submerges an iron year. What a great image that is. Conjures up such a great image.
Yeah.
To me, you know. And poetry is all about the unexpected juxtaposition of words and images, right? So that's Hart Crane, another, hero of the imagination. There we go. So thanks for listening.
All right. Do you have another hero, or is it ready for another Sounds Good?
I do have another hero, but it's kind of a... It's a hero unto... It's an episode unto itself. We could talk about it a little bit.
Let's do a Sounds Good and then
let's do
here.
Sounds Good. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh. Should we dim the lights? I don't know.
Let's see. Stand by. Please wait.
Oh, all right. Sore. Here we go.
Yes.
Awesome.
That was me and Mr. Owen Dockham.
Yeah,
tickling gosh. Those ivories.
What a talented group.
He's
still want to play drums he's to that
phenomenal
man.
He's a phenomenal pianist. So thanks for listening.
Wow. That was great.
I did want to talk briefly, because one can only talk briefly if one doesn't want to talk for one's entire life, about Leonardo da Vinci.
Ooh.
Another hero of the imagination.
Try to keep it to the... Don't fly off the handle, because you can pretty much get down the road there.
This is
going to
be pretty limited in its scope. Famous inventions of Leonardo da Vinci. The anemometer.
Anemometer?
Anemometer. An instrument for measuring the speed of wind. Flying machine, of course, you've seen that, right? One of his central preoccupations
of Leonardo da Vinci's life was flight. And one of his dreams was to get humans into the air. So he made a flying machine. It never worked because of just the limitations of materials. You know, there was no carbon fiber back then. But he basically
he had wood. He had shitty wood.
Yeah, like imagine like a pedal bird. So you're pedaling super fast and it's just doing this.
It's just too heavy. You need carbon fiber glass, you know.
Yeah, and the helicopter, which he called the aerial screw.
Yeah, there's a cool photo of that online.
That was something parachute. Yeah.
He invented the parachute.
Yeah. Though credit for the invention usually goes to Sebastian Lenormand. Leonardo da Vinci actually conceived the parachute idea a few hundred years earlier.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
the 33 barreled organ. So it's basically like a Gatling gun. A gun with a rotating chamber that could, you wouldn't have to reload it each time. It could just fire 33 times in a row.
But it was an organ?
The problem with cannons of the time was that they took far too long to load. His solution was to build multi-barreled guns that could be loaded and fired simultaneously.
So as it's going, you're like fucking filling the thing.
Yeah.
And once it gets, you can't reach anymore, it's getting ready to fire.
Yep.
And you're armored, just continually firing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The armored car.
Armored car?
Precursor to the modern tank.
Precursor to the car.
There it is right there, that one right in the middle of your screen. Here? Yep.
Here, I'll let the audience take a look.
Capable of moving in any direction and was equipped with a large number of weapons. I think it has spears on it and maybe artillery. Giant crossbow. He was a peacenik, but he devised weapons of war big time. And he actually used this on his resume to sell himself to various lords and ladies and kings and queens. He would say, look, I'm all for peace, but check out this armored car. Check out this armored car. Check out this 33-barreled cannon. Check out this giant crossbow. He invented a giant crossbow.
A giant crossbow. That's not even fair. Like this? I think this is that. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. Huge. 15, 20 feet long or something. Giant crossbow, triple barrel cannon. So that's, we covered that.
What's the 32 barrel organ?
33 barrel organ. He was in many ways a precursor to Jacques Fresco because Leonardo da Vinci designed the ideal city.
Oh.
So he was thinking about that, and he thought of cities as like systems, the same way that he thought of the human body as a system. Right? You have the veins and the arteries. Those are the roads. Robotic knight. Like basically a robot. Self-propelled cart. Scuba gear.
Scuba gear?
Yep.
Huh.
And a revolving bridge. A bridge could be quickly packed up and transported for use by armies on the move. So
we were looking at that photo.
Those are some of them. If you unscrew that, you can get the legs to go lower.
We got it.
Oh, cool.
Okay, this is cool setup.
That is cool.
Leonardo da Vinci made so many things and looked completely badass. Have you seen him in the face? That guy looked like savage.
You know, there's a... The Lives of Artists, I think it is. It's a book from antiquity. And the guy, he's just sort of giving brief biographies of various artists of the day.
And he talks about Da Vinci. And he says, yeah, Da Vinci was just gorgeous.
Hmm.
And just mega charismatic. He would walk down the marketplace and he would, I don't know if this is true, he would buy birds from the vendors and then just let them go.
Was he rich?
No, no. He was born a bastard son of a like housemaid sort of.
Huh.
But he was very flamboyant in his dress too. He was like dressed to the nines and very handsome and a mega artist, mega thinker. He was like just expansive in all directions.
I love the like physical creation ideas, like him inventing the pedal flight machine, just like actually how the wheels and shit would go. And if you extend technology outward, that actually is more possible with different materials, yeah. But it's like he's way ahead of his time.
Yeah, he had the ideas, but he didn't have the like the
the materials. The
materials.
They weren't available. Give that guy fiberglass.
He was totally aware that he was special too.
That's well,
like he knew he not in an arrogant way. He was just like, well, that dictates the project of my life is because I'm a singular, you know, I'm one in billions. I have to use my powers to for good, to try to mediate between humans and nature. So he is a hero of the imagination. I'm sure we'll touch upon him again.
We have to. There's just too much. I mean, are we putting on the
it's
list?
It's like Shakespeare. There's an endless sequence.
I was
going to
say, are we putting
sequence.
Shakespeare on the list? I mean,
there's
is
an
that
endless sequence of episodes on Shakespeare. Shakespeare would be on the list, absolutely.
Well, maybe he would go on that list, you know? All right.
That's you got it. Anything else?
I don't think I... Yeah, let's call that good there. And right, cool. let's come back to that topic soon.
Maybe another sounds good.
Yeah, let's do it. All
right, well, just like to thank everybody for coming out and listening to the show. Thank you very much. Drew, thanks for hosting.
Absolutely.
It's a good episode today.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun technical challenges. This episode is going to come in several pieces. But it'll just be in a row, no big deal.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. Tune in next week, next Saturday, around 1 p.m. We'll see you then.
Oops. Excuse me.
Hey, this is your landlord calling. I just wanted to let you know I'm going to be raising rent about 100,000% for next month. And I'm going to have to give up some limbs. I'm going to take the fridge out of there. There's going to be no microwave or fridge or stove. We're going to have to take one of the walls out, too. So it'll be a three-wall studio apartment. I'm going to raise the rent about 150,000%. Just wanted to let you know. And those repairs that you want done, we're going to wait about 5 years to do those. So hope everything's going great. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, this is Aubrey from the future. Just calling, I wanted to congratulate you on a great show. Even though I wasn't really prepared, I thought I did pretty well, all things considered. And I thought Drew's topic was really interesting. And my time machine might be broken next week, I'm not sure. But in any case, this is Aubrey from the future. 1 week in the future, calling you. And I will be seeing you a week previous to this. All right. Thanks. Bye.
That's all I got. All right. Well, if you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to contribute to it, that's totally awesome. For free, you could just go on YouTube and thumbs up. You don't even have to say anything. If you want to, you could comment, but just a thumbs up. That would be super cool. Another way is you can go to Patreon, Empathy and Imagination, and you can contribute that way to our goals that we have listed. In any case, contributing by listening is even great. So, you know, if it would hurt you to contribute money, don't do it. But if you're like, yeah, it's an extra cup of coffee, you know, and you'd like it, we'd appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well said.
It's